you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and with Jesus and serving him and with your family and just having a great time. It's a beautiful day here. A couple days left in April. I have the honor of sitting across from Pastor Tony Miller. Many of you remember Pastor Miller's been with us many, many times. And last time he was with us last year, we talked about having him back to go ahead and talk about heaven. And we're so excited we have that opportunity. Good morning, Pastor Miller.
Oh, good to be with you. And it's good to be on this subject we're going to talk about today.
It sure is. And, you know, I'm excited about a couple things. And First of all, I'm excited about what you've been doing. So Pastor Miller's been getting around. Even I want you to know that retirement doesn't mean retirement to Pastor Miller.
It's not in the Bible.
Yeah,
The priest, 50 years of age, couldn't do any manual labor in the tabernacle. But there's no such thing as retirement stated.
I like that 50 years of age, can't do any manual labor. I forgot about that. And so I want all you people with wounded spirits and work with me to remember that I'm past 50 years of age.
But you're not doing manual labor. You're doing soul labor.
I know. But Pastor, when you think about heaven, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I think of home.
Yeah.
I really do. I think of home because that's our ultimate home.
Yeah.
And there was a missionary that went on the foreign field during Teddy Roosevelt's time. And that missionary came back after Teddy had been over in his country where he had served for years. And he came in on the ship and hundreds were greeting Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
He got off the ship as a faithful missionary and no one greeted him there at that dock. And he was starting to feel sorry for himself. And then God came to him and just gave him this thought. He says, yes, the reason no one's greeting you, you're not home yet.
Oh, there it is, friends. And so we get to go home. And so one of the big things that happens when Tony Miller comes around is a lot of you guys ask Pastor Miller questions, as I do. I consider him a confidant and somebody who's well-respected. I trust his answers. They always come from a conservative biblical standpoint. And I had a missionary brother out there somewhere in the world who asked a question about he and his family. And he made the point, you know, I'm moving through my 50s now, and I feel like God is closing down our missionary career. And I know that sounds, when you're from New England or New York, that sounds like Korea, the nation, but it's actually Korea, C-A-R-E-E-R is the best way to do that.
Profession.
Profession. So what would you say to him, Pastor? A guy who served faithfully for a few decades and, you know, has been on a foreign field, feels like God's calling him back, and he's saying, what's the best way for me to do this?
Well, if he's with a mission board, he's obviously going to need to talk to his leaders about that. And that's one of the things he needs to consider. He also needs to look at the fact of, does he have that church or that ministry turned over to someone and trained to take his place? He could leave, you know, maybe a year or two early and not end up having a leader to take that ministry on and keep it the way he has been leading it. So has he got someone trained is key. Has he let his mission board know that? And then he needs to carefully go through that aspect of contacting the churches that have supported him through the advice of his mission board. Now, he's in his 50s. That's exactly the time that I transitioned from a ministry at a Christian university over to pastoring Morningside, where we became friends.
Yeah, sir.
And so I was 55, turning 56, and I'd had been around the block a few times, so it was okay to step into a church of some size and not tear it up.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess another piece of that would be, Pastor, and that's good information, taking care of the mission agency, the church, his home churches, his churches. But how would a brother like that find a place to minister?
Well, if he's coming back to the States, there are lots of churches right now that are looking. I mean, we have a shortage of pastors to replace pastors that are retiring.
Yeah.
So if it's kind of like if you go someplace and you say, well, I'm looking for a home, and there are lots of homes on the market. Right now, there are a lot of churches in the market, so to speak, looking for pastors. And so his home church pastor, and he's probably got churches out there that have supported him that might be interested in him.
Yeah,
I know of one right now in Kansas that I've been trying to help work through a transition. Sizable church. They've gone through some problems. They lost their pastor. They would love to have a missionary that's solid with experience come and take that ministry.
Yeah, now please understand, Pastor and I aren't picking on younger folks. We're just saying, chances are, if you've been in a ministry for a few decades and you're up there in years, that you're just a little better bet with a church of size and people, and you're not going to change everything on day one. So a dear friend of mine years ago took a church, and his first Sunday message was everything he was going to change in that church.
Oh, no.
And we need to be the opposite of that. But we're excited about the opportunity to minister to you missionaries out there and let you know, dear brother, that both Pastor and I think the world of anybody who'd be on the mission field a few decades. And, and are very thankful for what you've done there and look forward to you coming back. And you make sure once you come back and you get yourself your church and where you're going and your ministry, make sure that you give us a call, and we'd be glad to meet you somewhere to have a cup of coffee or a sandwich or something like that.
I can give you recommendations of churches personally.
Yeah.
And by the way, missionaries are my number one heroes. Out on the front line in those difficult places, not always a lot of fellowship. I just came back from India from about 3 weeks ago, and just to see what a young lady would be willing to do to go into that place as a missionary from America.
Now, did you see the lady who came through our church last year or this year? I don't remember. A lady came through our church to India. I don't know if you remember her. I don't want to say her name.
Yeah,
because
that's who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in a difficult, dangerous place.
One of the most profound presentations of missionary work I've heard in my entire life was that young lady coming to, on like a Wednesday night or a Sunday night at Morningside. I think it was a Sunday night. And boy, if you didn't get a need after looking at her, you're not going to get one.
Right.
And, so Pastor, where do you want to start? Pastor's going to be talking out of Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. Now, do you got this in bite-sized elements? Would you like me to read the first four verses?
Yeah, let's read the first few verses there, up to verse 3, maybe in chapter 21.
All right, you got it, folks. So we find ourselves in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, in the first three verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, a couple things real quick here, Pastor. So we know that John, the Lord has revealed this to John. So John has come up, and throughout the book of Revelation, he goes through a door, and he's in heaven. He's seeing things. And what's he seeing right here?
Well, he's seeing really the three things: New Jerusalem, New Heaven, New Earth. And this is like a bride adorned for her husband. Speaks of beauty, purity, fidelity in a bride.
Yeah.
And so, but really, I like the part where it says, and God will dwell with us, or we get to dwell with him. And that speaks of a home. And when a family wants to find a new home, you know, what do they first look for? They want to see it, first of all. And I think what Revelation 21 and 22 is, that it's a virtual tour of heaven. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
But my son just was here this past weekend, and he and his wife were thinking about moving back to Greenville.
Wow.
And guess what? They've been looking at homes online, virtual tours. But this week he came down and he looked at them on site. Well, this is really, we can't go to heaven right now, but we can have a virtual tour in Revelation 21 and 22. And I think of a home too. Your house has just been recently updated, upgraded. You've been working on it, and it looks great. But, you know, what is it about a home for a woman? What does it represent to her? A home represents an extension of herself or a reflection of herself. That's why whenever we want to invite some guys over to watch a ball game some evening, what does she want us to do? Help her clean it up.
Yeah.
Get some new flowers in the decoration pot, you know, whatever. And because it's a reflection on her, well, that's what heaven is. It's really a reflection on what our God is like.
Yeah, and just the magnificence and the glory. And, you know, for me, trying to, so when I was first saved, when I was initially saved and I accepted the Lord, and right out of the very first Bible study I went to. So I got saved at Fort Bliss, Texas, and I wasn't preaching. I was in Sunday school, and then I moved to Arkansas. And when I'm in Arkansas, this pastor says, we're having a special men's study on the book of Revelation.
Mm.
And boy, my head spun in circles, and I was trying to follow, you know, Revelation 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I think we went and made it through five chapters in a year and a half I was there. But this is what I'm thinking about. I think, you know, so often we try to make heaven or God look like the culture of America in the year 2024 or whatever the case may be. We try to, we can't look beyond the box. And all of a sudden God's saying, John, come here.
Yes. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the sin that's gone and all of that. I think Randy Alcorn actually brought it out that heaven is not to deliver us from the material world, but from the curse and sin of the material world.
Yeah.
And
you know what, Pastor? I messed up. We got to go ahead and take a break, folks. We'll be right back with you. Don't go anywhere.
Return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
So to you radio stations out there, I want to send you a quick apology for going a minute over my usual break, but this is just so interesting. So going back with you, Pastor, you're talking about there's no sin, there's no heaviness of any of that stuff, right?
Yes, it doesn't have the contamination or pollution of any kind. What a blessing that is. I was in Delhi, India, the largest city in the world.
The capital, right? New Delhi. Yeah.
And it is, but the trash and the debris and all of that. Well, God's perfect. Everything's perfect about him and his place he's got for us, home with him. But he's going to dwell with us. And that's just an amazing thing that God would dwell with us sinners saved by grace.
Yeah, I like that. And I think something else, friends, and this, I want to say this to you from a position of, you know, hope. And Pastor named this series of messages he's going to be doing this week on a perfect home. But, you know, we have hope for things. I remember when we were buying the home we're living in now, for instance, you know, you get a closing date a couple of weeks down the road, you go through some of the things your son went through. Some virtual touring wasn't real good 12 years ago. But, man, you get excited, you know, I'm gonna be living in that home. But somehow heaven almost seems abstract to some people, right?
Yeah, it's because unless you start studying the scripture and just let God speak to you, a lot of things about God are going to seem distant and surreal and abstract. But whenever he begins to describe heaven, he describes it in measurements of furlongs, size, materials, just like a home. You know, whenever you want to know about a home, you know, how many square foot is it? What color is it?
How many garages? Yeah, whatever.
Exactly. And that's what heaven is described as in this last two chapters, is with specific dimensions, colors, lighting, rivers, trees, people. You know, it's populated with certain people. In fact, it's not so distant that Hebrews 12 and verse 22 says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which were written in heaven, and to God the Judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the Mediator in the New Covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. He goes right down and lists who's going to be there. It's not abstract like, well, we'll get there and it's in the cloud and we're playing a harp and, you know, strumming. No, these are meeting specific individuals, a Trinity.
Yeah.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then angels, the perfect angels that didn't fall. Mm. And then the men made just, Old Testament saints, Paul is New Testament saint, but how about Moses and Abraham and meeting them face to face? And then go on, and how about Paul and Peter? You know, these are some guys I want to meet.
Yeah, you and me both.
And so it's specific.
Yeah, it's so many. I mean, you're walking along, you know, and I guess here's a thought for you, and this is something that crosses my mind once in a while. So for someone to go to heaven in the New Testament, we know we accept Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and Savior wholeheartedly. We trust him alone with our sins. We're all in. We get the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts. Old Testament saints, what was their ticket? How did salvation happen for Moses? How did salvation happen for Abraham?
Well, it's very clear. The New Testament clarifies that to us about Abraham. Romans chapter 4 talks about faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, Genesis 15:6. And so Abraham believed that God's promise and his power, that he was going to give him a seed like the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven. And so whenever he took that and believed God, it says Abraham believed God, and his faith in God, God declared him righteous before him, legally righteous. And so that whole first part of Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, talks about that justification by faith. So they were saved the same way we as New Testament saints are saved, by faith.
They were, right, by faith, looking forward to a Savior coming.
Yes.
And we are by faith. We're even better off because we have the sign miracles. We're looking back upon the cross. We're looking back on all that. So I know you got some more stuff here, Pastor, and you opened your Bible somewhere, so I want to let you keep on going.
I would like to say it's not only the population of heaven that thrills me, and God dwelling with us and him, our Father, and we're with him.
Yeah.
But also, it's a prepared place. This isn't just a slipshod sort of thing that, well, you guys show up and everything will be okay. You remember when Jesus said to his disciples right before he's going to leave, he said, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me, and in my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, homes." He says, "If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself." And I like the fact that it is prepared for us personally.
Yeah.
Individually, what we would be satisfied with. You know, my son, he sent his wife down here 2 weeks ago before he came, and he's letting her have the first look. Is she going to be satisfied? He didn't come here first and say, "Well, I found it." But that's the way God is. God knows us, and he knows tailor-made just what we need to be fully satisfied. That's the kind of God he is, a prepared place for us.
You know, I don't like driving a mile down the road for a meeting or to do anything in the ministry without, where am I going? Where am I staying? What's available to me while I'm staying there? Well, that's all covered. What you're saying is that's covered with heaven.
Exactly. He's doing it for us because he knows us inside and out better than we know ourselves. Yeah. What will bless our hearts and give us full satisfaction.
Amen.
Prepared. And it's a pretty place. That's another thing I just like to think about. Your home here, it's beautiful. You guys have been working on it, doing some repainting and so forth. And my wife has just renewed our house that we bought that had some age on it, but it's a nice house. And I was thinking about the beauty of it today, but then I thought of heaven.
Yeah.
Pretty. You think in terms of maybe we could read maybe some more verses about this in verse 12 of Revelation 21. Maybe, brother, you could read that and we could look at verse 20
Sure.
Yeah, that verse 12 and 14 there in...
I think we got time for 12, Pastor.
Okay, that'd be great.
For today. And it says, and had a great and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So there's gates. There's a wall to get into heaven. There's gates.
Yeah, well, and once again, this is kind of like a protected palace. In fact, paradise, it comes from a Persian word that means to be an enclosed garden that's protected. And that wall is not something that actually will protect from evil. God keeps it out, but it's a symbol of God's protected place that's pretty. And
hey, folks, hold on to that. You don't want to miss this. You want to make sure you come back tomorrow as we continue through Revelation 21 and 22, A Perfect Home, Speaking of Heaven with Pastor Tony Miller. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.